places that we had, they were holding the mission work back in the 80s. I still had hair.
We wouldn't recognize you, would we?
I'm just a fraction of all the wisdom that you have now.
You're sick, you don't have to mess with it no more.
Well, that's true.
It's got, no, everything got upside.
I don't have to mess with it.
Got his advantages.
Stuff on my face mostly is what I have to mess with.
Yep.
But, all right, who has praise? We're ready for praises.
Come on, somebody praise the Lord.
Vicki, go ahead.
I praise the Lord that I got to see my youngest granddaughter this week. I missed her. I haven't seen her in a few weeks, and my son came by unexpectedly.
Good for you. We had a little flood take place in here.
Uh-oh.
This air conditioner that runs the auditorium corner here to this side. The line stopped up and it overflowed.
Uh-oh.
Kind of flooded this area right here. That's why you smell a little bit of mildew this morning. But we hopefully it'll dissipate and go away with some time. We can use some baking soda on it. We didn't want to use chlorine on it, because that's just going to make it worse for everybody to breathe. But anyway, we got it fixed and it's working and everything's fine. So
praise the Lord for that.
That is a praise. Yes.
So that's a praise. We got that done.
Well, we've had that happen too.
Yeah. No, it does happen. You know, with this is a commercial unit, and so we don't have the secondary drain line that sticks out the eave of your house. You know, that one. By the way, when that one's dripping, you got trouble.
Yeah.
You need the main line blown out, because when that one stops up, it's going to flood your house.
Yep.
And so that's what that's for. When you see it dripping, that's your warning sign that you need to get that line blown out and fixed.
I still have a hole in that ceiling from over a year ago.
This is, we replaced, I don't know, four panels maybe.
Those are easy.
We're flooded here. Anyway, I had a box of them that I had stored back there, and so we had panels to replace
Yay.
It with.
That's good. That's be prepared. That's a Boy Scout.
They're getting hard to find. Yeah.
You can't find. It's just what we have. So, all right, who else? Praise us.
I just want to praise the Lord that I'm healthy.
You are.
I'm doing fine. Praise the Lord for that.
Amen. Amen. Daryl?
Praise the Lord for no more brain damage. Took me into the CAT scan and all that. Nope, no brain cells in here to worry about. But I got a brand new dent in my head. Well, but I'm fine. Praise the Lord for that.
Yeah.
A new dent in your head and a dent in that guy's bumper where you fell.
Destroyed the bumper, man.
It's just a small dent, hardly noticeable.
It's a Chevrolet. It's been a Ford or Dodge. It's a crush, but it not totally.
Good morning, Francis.
Hi, good morning.
Nice to see you.
Wow, no brace.
Wow, that's the same.
Still. Hey, Mama. How are you doing? Doing all right?
Doing well.
I have another praise. We have two baptisms scheduled today. That's cool. We got several more coming that have already trusted the Lord, and they'll be, you know, getting it in line kind of as it's arranged, and we can do that. We're working Jerry pretty good. He takes care of the baptistry, getting ready for us now. He's been doing a good job of watching over that. And it's just everything working. It's like it's supposed to be. Who else? Praises. Jerry.
I have the potential for all three daughters to be here today.
Ooh.
Potentially all three daughters to be here.
That's pretty cool. There's Joshua. Hello, we're doing praises, Josh.
Praises. It's still raining. Still raining. That is a praise. Back from Waco.
Did it start raining again this morning?
I hope so.
It did. I don't think it rained this morning.
Dang.
But I'm hoping. Wait, I'm back my dad. It's a daggum dry. You drop something in the crack and hit a chiming. I mean, it is bad back there.
No, that's dry.
That's dry.
Yeah, it's been dry. Boy, it's not in my house. That grass is
Yeah, mine's like you can't even walk in the slush.
Well, you talk about grass that was in trouble and not making it, all of a sudden became Herculean grass. That grass blade got muscles, they're growing so big.
Yeah. We have a little dog, and when the grass gets too high, we call it the high tickly grass, because she doesn't like to go out and use the bathroom, and she just barely makes it off the sidewalk, because she knows she gets in trouble if she goes on the sidewalk.
Yeah, we got new neighbors at our place. I met them both. It's Will and Michelle. They got a couple girls. I invited them to church, but I don't think they go to church any place. But we'll see what the Lord does with that over time.
That's been known to change.
May take 25 years, but
I knew I was going to get shot on that.
We don't quit easy.
No, you don't.
Never quit.
We don't quit easy. So that's good.
Oh, it's never early, it's never late.
Yeah, Brenda, what's your praise?
As of tomorrow, I will be a full-time employee, no longer a temporary.
No longer. Amen.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Okay. So that's cool.
Yeah.
Probably comes with more money, huh?
Actually, no, unfortunately. But at least I get paid vacations and holidays and that kind
money.
Of stuff.
That's
other benefits.
Good. Daryl?
I got the pleasure of meeting this very nice lady named Julia Walker. That is a co-worker of Vicky's. And I'm setting her up with you for Tuesday afternoons.
Okay.
Awesome.
Great. I'll be ready.
She could do basic Bible tours with you?
Oh,
awesome.
I will be ready.
Awesome. Glad to hear that.
All right. There was somebody else had a hand up. Who was it? Maybe not. Big Vicky was.
I just want to praise the Lord for abundance in my garden. Apparently all that my all the two rows of lettuces that I needed that I planted back in April was a lot more water because they're coming up left and right now. I had like one that came up and it got that tall and just stopped growing. I'm still dealing with some pests, but my cucumbers are growing and I have a tomato that's actually almost red.
Okay, good deal. Anybody else? Josh?
I want to praise the Lord for showing me some really cool stuff in the scripture this week. He just kind of brought some stuff out and delight and learned a lot, so I will praise him for giving me that.
Amen. Man, hopefully we're going to learn some things today. Jerry?
I just want to praise the Lord for always providing. Always gets us provision.
Amen.
Amen. He does.
All the time, every time.
Yeah. All good. Who else? Yes?
I just want to praise the Lord for teaching me. I've been taking some online Bible quizzes at YouTube, and I've been doing pretty well on them, and I couldn't have said that, so that's all the Lord.
Well, give me an example of one of the
YouTube
questions that you answered.
Could
be someone in the very sensitive. I can't think of one. One of them was King Agrippa. They were pretty basic stuff, like which disciple needed proof of Jesus' resurrection, that it was Jesus at the resurrection of Jesus Thomas, of course.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
I didn't even put anything in my hair.
Okay, well, that's cool. Anybody else? Other praises? All right, we're in Proverbs 29 today. We haven't really done anything with verse 1, but we're going to go ahead and skip to verse number 3. Last week we were talking about the righteous being an authority of people rejoicing. But when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. And this being an election year, it's pretty useful to be able to tell the difference. The main thing we took away from that last week is that we're to judge the statements, the position, not so much the individual, the man. The idea of having a righteous, saved person in leadership in our country, it can happen because God determines who's going to be the leader. He does. But the way our country's going and has gone for the last century or so or longer, you probably shouldn't necessarily count on it. But verse 3 kind of moves back to a family perspective. It says, "Whoso loveth wisdom rejoiceth his father. But he that keepeth company with harlots spendeth his substance." This verse is pretty much directed at men. I don't think it has a whole lot to say to ladies, but this is pretty well directed at the fellas. And the truth of the matter is that the problem that's being addressed there is a lot more common than anybody would normally think or certainly ever want to admit. It's a bigger problem than people think. You see the verse and you tend to home in on the specifics of the verse, but there's a lot of things that are going on in the life of a lot of different men that fits in this category, even though they might not actually be specifically keeping company with a prostitute. What might some of those things be?
Maybe overspending or the making like my race car my god, or overspending on the race car. Or the
I thought about that. We'll think about that.
A hobby that you're spending too much on, or
Jerry?
Alcoholism.
Okay.
This verse is really talking about
those two things, actually. Drunkenness and that. What's the specifics of this verse kind of do go hand in hand historically. Vicki?
I was thinking about pornography.
Pornography, yeah.
I don't have to necessarily spend time with them in the flesh to be able to be spending time with them.
That's pretty much true. There's certainly a lot of that, more than ever before. Joshua?
I mean, just simply as, you know, if you're going to be chasing a woman, chase the Lady of Wisdom, instead of chasing wild women at the bar or wherever else.
You're going to chase a woman, chase the one named Wisdom?
That's right.
That's pretty good advice. Pretty good advice. Whoso loveth wisdom rejoiceth his father. I realize there are exceptions, but one of the things that pretty much every father wants to see is his son going down the right road. And one of the main symbols of a son going down the wrong road is laid out here in this verse. Is definitely laid out here. I want to take you over to the New Testament and let you see this proverb played out, literally played out in Luke chapter 15. Because it is. I mean, to the letter, laid out here in Luke chapter 15. And I think that one of the things that you're going to perhaps assume when you look at this subject is that we're talking about the unrighteous versus the righteous. But that's not always the case, is it? Can a righteous man be caught up in this type of sin?
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Certainly can. I want to take you to Luke 15, though. And beginning in verse 11, I want to read this whole story. Anybody want to do some reading today?
Yes, I will.
All right, Mary, Luke 15, starting with verse number 11, and read it down through verse number 16.
Okay.
And Vicki, you take 16 through, let's see, 24. And who wants to take 25 through 32? Josh, will you take 25 through 32? All right, so take it off, Mary. You got it.
And he said, "A certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me.' And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country. And there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, There arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him.
Okay.
And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry.
Now his elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, thy brother is come, and thy father has killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry, and would not go in. Therefore came his father out, and entreated him. And he answering said to his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment. And yet thou never gavest me a kid, that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found.
Amen. Amen. This is quite an emotional story, is it not?
Yes,
it
is. Yes.
I have seen this played out in some way in many lives.
Yep.
My own, in some ways. Probably not a guy in here who hasn't, who can't relate to this. What are some of the things that you see here? We see that the proverb says, whoso loveth wisdom rejoiceth his father. But he that keepeth company with harlots spendeth his substance. Well, the younger son certainly spent his substance.
Yeah, he qualified.
He lost everything that was his. It was his part of the inheritance. And I can imagine that was pretty substantial. That he had two sons. He's pretty wealthy, obviously. And he's got a robe and a ring for the occasion. What similarities do you see here in this proverb and played out in this story? By the way, I just want you to remember that this is there is no biblical basis for this to be called a parable. When it says a certain man had two sons, you can probably take it to the bank that there was a certain man who had two sons, and this actually happened. And I realize that, you know, Jesus may correct me someday and say, no, that was really a parable, but that's not what it says. It says there was this certain man. What are some of the similarities that you see there?
Between that and the Proverbs verse?
Huh?
Between that and the verse in Proverbs?
And the Proverbs, yeah.
What specifically says that he spent his living on harlots.
Well, that's what the brother said anyway.
Yeah, righteous living. So
righteous living.
Yeah.
Probably. Yeah. He's probably right.
I think he also went and gambled his money.
Yeah, gambled his money. Yeah. Probably, the brother probably may well have known him better than the father did.
Yeah.
I'll guarantee you, I knew the brother that was closest in age to me. I promise you, I knew him better than my dad did. If my dad knew about him everything that I knew about him, things would have been different. So, yeah. The older brother, do you see him in the proverb anywhere?
Yes.
The older one?
The older brother. He's the first part of the proverb. His wise son maketh his...
seeketh wisdom. Yeah. Rejoices his father.
Yes.
He worked with his father.
Because they said that at the end, that all he has, he's always been with him, and all he has is his.
Yeah. And so the older son definitely rejoiced his father.
Yeah.
Caused his father to rejoice because he said, "Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine." And that was literal, by the way, because he had already given the inheritance that belonged to the young one to him.
Right.
And when the father's gone, the rest of it goes to the other son. It's going to be divided between the two. So it was a literal statement. He says it was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this our brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. Do you see any parallel with what's said here? Let me take you right quick to another passage of Scripture. Let me take you over to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians 6. Now, 1 Corinthians 6 has a lot of material in it. I mean, there's a lot of things taught in 1 Corinthians 6. Going to law against your brother is talked about in 1 Corinthians 6. What you should or should not do concerning eating and drinking is in 1 Corinthians 6. What you should or should not do regarding the issue of prostitutes and fornication is dealt with specifically in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. What know ye not that he which is joined, this is verse 16, joined into an harlot is one body, for two, saith he, shall be one flesh, but he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. And he reminds them that they are the temple of the Holy Spirit. You shouldn't be involved in any of those kind of practices. But the one thing that I want you to get, especially you guys, is there in 1 Corinthians 6 and verse number 9 and 10 and 11. He says, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind." Now, the first two of those definitely apply to this issue that we're reading about out here in Proverbs. He says, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers. And if you put that whole package together, you're definitely describing riotous living.
Oh, yeah.
And the most important part of that is found in verse number 11. And such were some of you. But you're washed, but you're sanctified, but you're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. This is a big problem for a lot of men. And when men come to Jesus and get saved, they're bringing their unregenerated flesh with them. And all the baggage that may have been stored up in life. The cool part of this is that this is what they were, not what they are. It doesn't have to stay that way. Yeah, you're stuck in your flesh, but there is replacement for the baggage of the flesh. Yes, Jerry.
It's good that number verse 11 does that, because as you read through it, it sounds like, uh-oh, we're not going to make it.
It does.
You know, then number 11 pops up. And such were some of you. Oh, okay. So can take.
This particular text is one that I use quite actively when I teach basic Bible truth. And that is, when after we read verse number 9, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God," I then point out the fact that there's no unrighteous person that's going to heaven. Nobody. And then I take you over to Romans 3 and a bunch of other places besides that, where it says in verse 10, "There is none righteous, no, not one." And so the big question becomes, how can an unrighteous person become a righteous person? And, you know, do you do righteous things to become righteous? Well, that doesn't work, does it?
No.
So how does a person become righteous? Do you go through a rough time and waste all your substance and lose all your money and then repent of that and come back and live at home? Is that going to make you righteous?
No.
If you just read, if you just went back and read what happened with the younger son, you know, you might come to that conclusion. What did he do? He came to himself, the Bible says. And that's just the way he puts it here. He says, and when he came to himself, he said, "How many servants of my father's house have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger?" He took a good look inside. Vicki?
Well, wasn't it actually the Father's forgiveness, which parallels Jesus' forgiveness of us, that allowed him to come back and to be part of the family again? Because his father, as an earthly father, could have well said, "Well, you know what? I told you this was going to happen, and you didn't listen to me, so you made your bed, now lie in it."
Yeah, well, he could surely have been justified in doing that.
But he didn't. He forgave him.
But he didn't do that, did he?
No, he forgave him.
So he acted a lot more like the Heavenly Father than he did most earthly fathers when he did that. The parallel is here. The plan of salvation that being laid out there is, the plan of salvation being laid out here is not explained, but it is stated. It's stated because it says in verse 32 that it was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again. Well, there's your parallel right there, because that's exactly where I was before I met the Lord Jesus Christ and he saved me from my sin. I was dead in my sins. That's where every one of us was. And I am alive again. My spirit now lives because the blood of Jesus Christ paid my debt and made me, literally made me, righteous. You know, in basic Bible truths, when we go back to Romans, it's such a joy to be able to show people how the unrighteous becomes righteous. The Bible says that when we put faith in the blood of Jesus Christ, at this time, the time we do that, that the Lord declares us righteous based on the blood of his son. And, it's a blessing to be able to ask people and to explain it. And those of you that have been through the classes, you've gone through this. You've heard this. If Bubba over there puts his trust in the blood of Jesus for his salvation, which he did.
Amen.
And Jesus came into the room. And Jesus is the one, by the way, that you read about in Genesis, that before he created the sun, he said these words, "Let there be light."
Yeah.
And it tells us exactly what happened.
There was light.
And what happened?
There was light.
He declared, "Let there be light," and there was light. And so I ask people, and this is such a joy to be able to do this. I've done this hundreds of times, it seems like. Maybe not that many, but many. Dozens, anyway. And if Jesus came into the room and he turned to Bubba and he said, "Bubba, I declare you righteous," what would Bubba be?
Righteous.
With a heart attack.
And that is exactly how the unrighteous man becomes righteous. He is declared righteous by the Lord at the time he puts his trust in the blood that Jesus shed for him on the cross. And that seems to get the point across. That seems to do a better job of explaining where that moment of salvation is and how it works than nearly anything I've ever been able to explain to people. Vicki?
This whole new meaning to the, when Jesus says, "I am the light of the world." He was the light of the world from the very creation of the world.
That he is. And so the parallel is wonderful. Yes, you have done the opposite of rejoicing your father when you wasted substance in sinful, righteous living. And it doesn't matter which particular kind of righteous living it was. We've all sinned. We've all been that younger brother in some way or another. And some of y'all were the younger sister. I mean, there's really no exceptions. The human creature is sinful. There's no way around it. It is that. But the beauty of it is, you don't have to stay there. You don't. You can come back to your father's house. Where's father's house?
Here.
Here. It's right here. You're sitting at the table in your father's house right now. And that doesn't make me your father. It makes me the shepherd teaching the sheep, but the under-shepherd. But this is God's house. And I'm not talking about the sheetrock and the steel and the air conditioner that flooded our classroom last week. I'm talking about you. You are the body of Christ and members in particular. And the elder son was upset. He was angry. Wouldn't go into the party. That's a whole other set of proverbs about that, by the way. There are a lot of things that can be learned from that. Let's go back over to Proverbs now. And it says, "Whoso loveth wisdom rejoiceth his father." So my big question for the class today is, do you love wisdom?
Yeah.
Do you really?
Yeah.
Is there evidence in your life that you do?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I think so.
I do. Yes, there is.
Yeah. Do you think that most Christians love wisdom?
Mm-hmm. If they don't, they should.
If you were to ask me, and I had to answer you, which I might not, by the way, I don't always answer every question that's asked me.
Mm-hmm.
Pastor, does everybody in your church love wisdom?
No.
Mm-hmm. Josh?
Would loving wisdom be kind of the same as loving the truth? Because the truth is not always so fun to hear.
Yeah.
But if you love the truth, you'll find wisdom.
Wisdom is the things that cause a person to be wise are always true. They're definitely true. And not everybody loves the truth, and not everybody loves wisdom. Why? What could possibly get in the way of you being a person, being a Christian, who loves wisdom?
Pride.
Mm-hmm. Well, that didn't take long.
Yeah.
Change.
People don't like to
change. Yeah. Change. I like Bill's, Lark Bill's better than change, but.
Different kind of change.
I'm just messing with you. You're right. Change. Who loves to change?
Especially the older you get.
Yeah, not as you get older. Yeah. You don't want to change.
Yeah.
Well, Lisa's not in here, but she keeps wanting to remodel stuff. She apparently loves to change, so I don't know how that works.
Just don't move the chair.
I know that I'm not crazy about change. At all. I, you know. Am I set in my ways? No. Yeah, pretty much. Do I need to change? Yeah, some areas, yeah.
We all do.
There are areas I don't need to change. What?
Remodeling.
Fixer upper.
Yeah, well, that's it. That's one of them, perhaps. But no, there are some things that I don't need to change. I mean, I don't smoke anymore, and I'm not about to change that.
Right.
There are a few things that I don't need to change. I tithe faithfully and give, and I don't want to change that. That needs to stay the same. There, and just thank God that there are a few things that we can actually do that, you know, that we don't have to feel bad about or want to or need to change. But are there more things that we need to change than there are things that don't?
Amen.
Oh, yeah. Somebody had to throw cold water on all of our field trips. Yeah, there are things that we all need to change. And change is not fun. The results of positive change, the results of loving wisdom and actually applying it in our lives are great. I mean, look what that has done for you.
Right.
Almost every major stride to make you better in your life has come from learning to love wisdom.
Yep.
And apply and actually practicing it. So you'd think we'd all love wisdom a lot more, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
But now we're flesh. But we're not going to stay flesh. No, we got new flesh coming. Yeah. Jerry,
how's the term ignorant bliss fit into the whole thing?
Well, yeah. It kind of shifts. It's kind of a shoe that some of us probably might as well wear because it's that way.